God, it's so good to know that no matter where we are, no matter what's going on in our lives, that you are there. You are intimately involved in this world that you created. You are above it, below it, within it. There's nothing that escapes your notice. God, there's a sense of just help and comfort that comes from knowing that, God, you're there always. So I thank you for the promise of your presence. I thank you for your word, for revealing yourself to us that we might know you, and more than that, for offering us a relationship with you through faith in your Son. I thank you for each of these folks here this morning, Lord, for our opportunity to fellowship together, seek you together, and be an encouragement to one another. So we pray your blessing on us yet again as we look to your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we typically have reasons for going wherever it is we go, right? I mean, I don't suppose we randomly just bounce around generally. You go to school to get an education so that you can have a job and make a living. You go to work to make money so you can pay the bills. You go to the gym for exercise and better health. You go to the mall to shop for clothes. You go to the grocery store for food. Most of us could give a reason for most of the things we do, I suppose. And I would suppose that's no less true of why we're here this morning. If I was to ask, why did you come to church today? Why do you go to church? Why not just sleep in on Sunday? Why not do other things? Well, yeah, I imagine some of you would say, well, no, going to church is like the most spiritually encouraging and uplifting thing of my week, that I get to get together with other Christians and we sing God's praises and we study his word together, and it's important to me because I want to deepen my relationship with God. Okay, let me change it up a bit though. What if I was to ask, what is the reason you should become a member of a church? That changes it a little bit, right? I mean, it's one thing to go to church. We're all here. I don't have to talk to you about going to church. One thing to attend a church, but we'd probably say it's a different level of commitment entirely to think about becoming a member of a church. As I mentioned, we have a membership and information class coming up next week, and I thought, well, maybe it would be a good time to just talk about church membership, to address that question, why become a member of a church? It's good to occasionally cover some of these basic sort of things, and I know many of you are already members of this church, and that's great. So for those of you who are members of the church already, what I want to encourage you to do this morning is to spend some time recalling why. Why did you become a member of the church? What is it that drove you to choose to join the church as a member? Now, others of you may not yet be members. Maybe you've attended this church for some time and you've never become a member. Maybe this is your first visit here and you're thinking, well, what is this whole idea of membership all about? So this morning, what I want to encourage you guys to do is to listen, and maybe if you've been attending the church for a while and you're not a member, maybe now's the time to say, well, why not? Why haven't you become a member of the church? And just, again, to kind of discuss the whole idea of church membership, because it is a thoroughly biblical idea. So we're going to look at three things this morning. First, I want to answer the question, what does it mean to be a member of a church? Secondly, I want to address a few of the objections people raise to church membership. And then finally, we'll look to answer the question, what's the value of it? What is the value of being a member of a local church? We're going to look at a lot of different verses in the Bible today, so have yours ready, and we'll not jump around too much, but we're going to cover a handful of passages, so be ready with that. I want to start with that first question, what does it mean to be a member of the church? Now, we're familiar enough with the idea of membership, aren't we? Because we're members of a variety of different things in our daily lives. Some of you probably have a membership at Costco, right? Maybe you're a member of a homeowners association. Maybe you wish you weren't. Maybe you have a membership at the gym. Maybe you have a membership at the YMCA. And of course, let's not forget Amazon and all of those streaming services, right? You may even be a member of, an online gaming platform or a fantasy sports league or something. There's literally hundreds of things that we can be members of, and because of our understanding of what it means to be a member of any one of those things, we can end up with some very wrong concepts of what does it mean to be a member of God's church. We can end up associating membership with things like paying dues and following rules. In some clubs that you are a member of, for instance, you probably pay an annual fee or something, and you show up to the occasional meeting. And regrettably, I think that's sometimes what happens in churches too. People see membership in God's church in a similar way. They think of, they pay their dues, right? They show up and they give a tithe or an offering, and they show up to the occasional meeting, and that's membership. But that is definitely not what membership in God's church is about. It's not about money. It's not about attendance. It's about belonging. That's what Paul meant when he spoke of members of God's church. I want to take us to our first passage. It's in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. If you're using one of the Bibles in the rack there in front of you, turn to page 1021. 1021. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Paul's talking about members of God's church. Let me read it for us. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. He says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." So to the Apostle Paul here, as he's talking about the idea of church membership, for him, the idea of being a member of the church meant becoming a vital organ of a living body. The thing about the human body is, all of the organs and different parts of our body, they're different from one another. They have different functions, different purposes. And the reality is, while we can exist without all of the parts of our body, you could lose a limb. You could even lose a kidney or maybe one lung. You could operate without various parts of your body, but the reality is it works best when all of the parts are there. That's the way God designed it. Every part is necessary and unique. And it's very much the same with the body of Christ. It's very much the same with the church. Each of us serves a different function in the body of Christ. Each of us has been equipped by God uniquely. If any one person is absent from the body, then guess what? The entire church doesn't function as well as it should. If we see membership from that perspective, if we see it from the biblical standpoint of it's a body, the church is a body, we can understand much better what it means to be a member of the church. Being a member of the church involves belonging. And it involves belonging in two directions, vertically and horizontally. Let's talk about the vertical first. Membership is first belonging to Christ. It's a relationship that we enter into by faith. It's not just accepting a set of truths. There's plenty of truths that the Bible contains that, yes, that is fundamental to the understanding of our faith, but it's not just agreeing that those are true, because I'll tell you what, Satan agrees that all of those things are true. Well, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Well, so does Satan. It doesn't save him. It's about a personal relationship with God that we enter into by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus, the risen, living Son of God. Confessing our sin to him and believing that he died for our sins and that by faith in him, we can receive God's forgiveness. Yesterday, I did the memorial service for Ken Murphy. And the text I chose to speak from was out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where Paul says, "I know whom I have believed." Paul didn't just acknowledge a set of truths. He said, "I know not what I have believed, I know whom I have believed." He had a personal relationship with Christ that had transformed his entire life. That's based on the truths that we find revealed in Scripture. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's one way to be saved. The Apostle John in 1 John 5:12, in more words than this, but the sum total of it was, he said, he who has the Son has life. If you've entered into a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, you have life. That's what it is to be a member of God's church. It's to be in relationship with him. It's to belong to him by faith. That's the vertical aspect. But there's a horizontal aspect to it as well. Membership is also belonging to the body of Christ. It's the horizontal aspect of belonging. The church, as Paul says in Romans here, and even in more detail in 1 Corinthians, the church is one body that is made up of many members. Paul explains this in detail again in 1 Corinthians 12, but he hints at it here in Romans 12. He says in verse 5 that each of us belongs to all the others. He says we are individually members of one another. There is an interdependent relationship established when we become members of the body of Christ, his church. You belong to me. I belong to you. I need your gifting. You need mine. We all need each other in the body of Christ. Further down in Romans 12, if you look a little further down the page there, verse 10, Paul says that we should be devoted to one another in brotherly love. From the very beginning, of the church, believing in Jesus has included being a part of a local fellowship of believers. All the way back in the New Testament, when we first see the church emerging, we see people gathering together in groups. Regrettably today, especially in our Western culture, you see somehow a lot of Christians that just kind of hop around. You know, they'll bounce from one church to another, that no real identity, accountability, no commitment. It's just here for a while, there for a while, and just kind of moving with the wind. More than that, with all of our technology now, with all the live streams, podcasts, radio, and TV programs, some believers don't feel a need to plug into a church at all. I can get what I want just by flipping open my phone or bringing it up on my computer. Can tune into what they want to hear whenever they feel the desire, whether music or message. I got it. Here's what they're missing. What they're missing is that the Christian life involves more than just believing. It involves belonging. That's what it is to be a member of God's church with a capital C, but that's what's involved in being a member of a local church too. We grow in Christ by being in relationship with other Christians. It's how God designed it. So it's not about having membership. Do you have membership in a church? It's about being a member. It's about belonging to Christ. It's about belonging to each other. Membership isn't something we have. It's something we do. It's something we are. It's a commitment, a choice to belong. It's deciding not to just be a Christian consumer. It's deciding to be a contributor. I want to be plugged in to the body of Christ and to be able to give and receive freely from one another. But as I said, there are still some people who raise objections to membership, and that's the second thing I want to look at together this morning, just briefly. Most of the objections, when I've talked to people about church membership, most of the objections I've heard regarding membership are not regarding membership in God's church. It's not an objection to, I don't think I need to be a part of the family of God. That's not the objection. It's more to an objection to a local fellowship, a local group, a gathering of believers. Some of the ways I've heard people express this are, well, local membership in a church or membership in a local church, perhaps, it's not mentioned in the Bible. It's not commanded in the Bible, so I don't need to do that. Or I've heard people say, well, the church I used to belong to or the denomination or whatever, well, they didn't practice membership, so, you know, I don't do that. Or I'm a member of God's church. I don't need to be a member of any other. I'm a member of God's church with a capital C. Or perhaps if it's an authority issue, it's something like, well, Christ is my authority. I'm not going to put myself under the authority of any person, any human leader in God's church. I'm under the authority of Christ alone. And I've got to say that those are all, they can all be valid statements, although I don't think they're taking in the whole picture. When Paul wrote his New Testament letters, he was frequently writing to local churches. Matter of fact, many of those churches are represented by the name of the letter. Galatians, the churches in Galatia. Philippians, the church in Philippi. You know, all the way through there, he's writing to local gatherings of believers. In 1 Corinthians, during his discussion on spiritual gifts, Paul refers to a time when the whole church would be gathered. And that's not his main point. He's talking about spiritual gifts, but he mentions a time when the whole church would be gathered. Well, that means that he's talking about a local group of believers who are identifiable individuals that we would know if the whole church was gathered or not, because you know who's a part of that church. As for membership in God's church, that's clearly the most important thing. To put your faith in Christ for salvation, you become a member of the body of Christ when you put your faith in Christ. That's the most important thing, absolutely. But as we've seen here in Romans 12:5, we're not just to be members of the body of Christ, but we're to be members of one another as well. Christ is the one who started the church. Christ is the one who called us to be active participants in the church. In his church, our Lord put together systems of authority and service so that the church might work effectively as a body with all of its parts working. I find that the question that most people have about membership usually comes along the lines, something along the lines of, why should I be a member of a church? And I'm not sure that that's phrasing the question right. I think the question would be better asked, not why should I, but why shouldn't I become a member of a church? We should ask ourselves, what are my concerns? If you are not a member of a church, this one or another one, ask yourself, why not? Is there something that makes you uneasy about being a member of a local church, a local fellowship of Christians? Are you concerned about the leadership? Do you feel that those responsible for leading a particular church, maybe they are unbiblical or they're teaching error? That would be a valid concern. That would absolutely be a valid concern. But if they're not, if those leaders are striving for faithfulness, then maybe there shouldn't be as much of a concern about being under that person's teaching and authority. Maybe you're concerned about accountability. Maybe you fear that if I become a member of a church, people are going to be watching me and just waiting to point fingers at me for something I do wrong. That's not the way the church should be working. That is definitely not what God has called us to do. Yes, we are absolutely to help one another be accountable to God, but I think Jesus put it most clearly and comically when he said, take the beam out of your own eye before you try and address the speck of sawdust in your brother or sister's eye. Make sure that you're dealing with the problems in your life before you try and deal with the problems in another person's life. I find it kind of strange that we have no problem being members at Costco, where you have to pay for the privilege of spending money in their stores. We have no problem with that, but when it comes to church membership, it just amazes me that some people so strenuously object and say, well, it's unbiblical. Show me chapter and verse where it says I should be a member of a church. You know, there's a lot of things that we do in the church that don't actually have a chapter and a verse. But it doesn't mean that they are unbiblical or wrong. Sunday school, no chapter and verse about Sunday school or children's ministries in general. Christmas, you know, whether it's a Christmas cantata or something, there's nothing in there about celebrating Christmas. There's nothing actually in there really about quiet times, at least not in those words. Matter of fact, you won't even find the word Trinity in the Bible. But all of those are thoroughly biblical concepts. And while there's not a single verse that speaks to them, the whole of Scripture together points to the truth of these things and the rightness of doing many of these things. So I don't know all the concerns a person might have, but I guess what I would say is that if and as you are not a member of a church, maybe it's time to look at your concerns. Why? Ask ourselves not why should I, but why shouldn't I become a member of a local church? Now, I suppose at the end of the day, in part, it's going to come down to benefits, right? What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? Now, let me bring us to the final question this morning. What is the value of being a member of a local church? There are apps out there for your phone for just about every major restaurant chain out there. Every single one of them. Fast food places, sit-down places, most every one of them has an app. All of the ones that I've seen are free to download and use. And once you sign up as a member, you know what you get? You get coupons and special offers. And when you use that membership or order through their online site or scan it at the restaurant or whatever it is, you accrue maybe points or rewards for every purchase. And those points translate to free food and drinks. How cool is that? Membership is optional, of course. It's a choice. You don't have to download the app. You don't have to sign up to be a member in order to purchase food from that restaurant. Anybody can go in there and buy food anytime. Not a problem. But membership does have its privileges. You get free stuff. Granted, anyone could choose to download the app and become a member and get the same discounts, but not everybody does. In the long run, non-members may just be willing to pay a little more for the same stuff and not get some of those free perks. In a way, I think you could say some of the same things about church membership. Church membership is optional in that you don't have to be a member of a local gathering of believers. You don't have to be a member of a local church in order to be saved. You do have to be a member of God's church by faith in Christ. But being a member of a local church doesn't save you. Still, it's highly recommended. It's clearly biblical. Let me point out some of what I think are the other benefits that people receive by being a member of a local church. First, it provides a source of identity. Church membership can identify a person as a true believer in Christ. We are a part of God's household as members of His church. In fact, if you turn with me over to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, consider how he puts it there, Ephesians chapter 2, page 1054, if you're using that pew Bible there, 1054. Ephesians chapter 2, and I've got two different verses I wanted to draw our attention to here. Look at what Paul has to say about it in Ephesians chapter 2, first in verse 13. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And then skip down to verse 19. He says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." Part of the idea here is that being a member of a local church provides a source of identity. And now that's not to say that all members of a church are automatically Christian. It should be true. It is not always true. With our church, the way our practice works is before you become a member of the church, you would sit down with me and the deacons and just we'd have a chance to hear your testimony of faith. How did you come to recognize you were a sinner, that you needed God's forgiveness? How did you come to believe in Jesus? Not every church does that, and certainly there can be people who have become members of a church who maybe truly don't believe in Christ for salvation. So while it should provide a source of identity, and confirm that a person's a Christian, I can't say that it always does, but I guess what my point with this is that if you were not willing to be identified as a Christian, if you didn't want people to know that you were a Christian or to think that you were a Christian, you probably wouldn't become a member of a church. If you're becoming a member of a church, by implication, you're saying, well, it's because I believe what that church is teaching. I believe what the Bible says. I believe in Jesus. A second benefit of membership is that it provides a spiritual family to support and encourage you in your walk with Christ. Matter of fact, turn back just a couple of pages in your Bible to Galatians chapter 6, the first couple of verses there. Be page 1051 in the Bible there from the rack in front of you. Galatians 6, look at the first two verses of what Paul says there in Galatians 6. He says, "Brethren, even if anyone who is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Growing in Christ is not easy. It's not automatic. It's not something where we just say a prayer once and then we pull the lever on the spiritual easy chair and kind of coast into heaven. We don't save ourselves by what we do, but in order to grow in Christ's likeness, it's going to take our cooperation with God's Holy Spirit. Being a member of a local church helps with that. God has established the church as the place where Christians grow best because we can encourage each other, because we can pray for each other, we can pray with each other, we can support, we can strengthen, we can help one another to be accountable to the things God calls us to do. Turn towards the back of your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, page 1087 in the Pew Bible there, 1087. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, Paul really, or well, not Paul necessarily, whoever the writer of Hebrews is here, says very clearly for us in verse 24, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That's a benefit of church membership. You have other Christians who are looking out for you, who are trying to encourage you in your walk of faith and are seeking to be encouraged by you in their walk of faith. Thirdly, membership gives you a place to discover and use your spiritual gifts in ministry. It's in 1 Corinthians 12 that Paul talks about spiritual gifts, and he gives a detailed example, again, of how the church is like a body. Each part has a function. Each part is necessary to the whole because God's designed us all differently. As Christians, he's equipped us uniquely to serve him. Every believer in Christ is a member of the body, and every part is necessary to the whole. So maybe your gift is not public speaking, but maybe God has called you to undergird the ministries of the church. Maybe God has called you to work in the behind-the-scenes stuff, and that's where you thrive. Maybe you have not got the skills to repair a leaking faucet at church, but God has given you a passion for telling others about what he's done in your life, and you just have such a desire to share that truth with others. Maybe you wouldn't teach a group of kids, but maybe you'd say, "I'd help out with the sound system in the back. I've got some technological skills. I could run the live stream for you guys." Great. God's gifted us all differently. The local church, that's a place for you to develop whatever gifts, talents, and abilities God has given you that he desires for you to use to be a blessing to others in the body of Christ. It's a place where each of us can see how God has equipped us to serve him and the church. Now, fourth benefit of local church membership is that it places you under the spiritual protection of godly leaders. To those individuals that God has placed in leadership in the church, God has given the special responsibility of looking after and protecting. The under-shepherds, those shepherds who serve under the authority of Christ, they are to look after the flock of our Heavenly Father. To all these leaders, God has given a charge. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." So that's God's charge to those who serve in church leadership. But to those who are in the church and are living under the leadership of these individuals, God has also given a charge. If you're still in Hebrews there, turn over just a couple of more pages to Hebrews 13 and verse 17 on page 1090 in the Pew Bible. Hebrews 13, 17. Here's the charge that God lays on those who are in the church and serving under the leadership of those who have been placed in that position. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Being a member of a local church places you under the spiritual protection of godly leaders. Membership also provides you with the accountability that each one of us needs for Christian growth and maturity. And I will be the first one to admit this is probably one of the least popular perks of membership. No one likes to put themselves in a position where we could be disciplined or even corrected. We don't like the way that feels, so we tend to not want to put ourselves in a position where we're going to experience it. But the fact is, it's a needful thing for all of us. We all need discipline and correction from time to time, don't we? Think of it this way. Many different ways you could pursue an education. Let's say you wanted to, you have an interest in mechanical engineering, okay? I want to know what it is. I want to be able to think like a mechanical engineer. I want to design things, fix things, whatever it is. Okay. So there's a few ways you could go about that. First, you could just get a handful of books and study it yourself. Just sit down and read and study, and you know, you hopefully you would grow in your understanding. And I think some people do that as Christians. They say, I've got a Bible. That's all I need. I read my Bible. I don't need somebody else to interpret it or explain it for me. I've got everything I need. I can do it by myself. Okay. A second way you could choose to fan the flames of your interest in mechanical engineering, you could choose to audit a class or sit in on a class. Now, in that case, if you're just auditing a class, you don't usually have any obligation to complete any homework. You don't have to take any tests because you're not going to receive a grade for it. In fact, you don't even have to show up to every class if you don't want to. You paid for the privilege of just kind of showing up when you want and getting what you want out of it. And again, I think people can do the same sort of thing with their faith as well. They come to church probably more often than not, but they haven't placed themselves under the protection of the church and its leaders by entering into membership. They haven't chosen to avail themselves of the correction or discipline that will help their spiritual growth. Now, the third way you could go about it is to actually enroll in the class. In this case, you're going to have assignments. There'll be homework, there'll be quizzes, there'll be tests. You'll receive not just instruction, but you're going to receive correction and discipline. You will be graded and encouraged to change things where, you know, you did that wrong. Let's see if we can help you to do it right. And that's not to punish you, though, is it? It's to help you learn and to help you grow. That's the whole purpose of that kind of an educational environment. That's what local church membership provides you, that same sort of benefit. Not correction and discipline in the church, it's not to harm us. It's intended to help us grow in our relationship with Christ, to become more Christ-like. Now, it's true that any of those three examples could provide a person with an education. You could grow in your understanding of mechanical engineering any of those three ways. In the same sense, any of those kind of approaches to faith could also allow a person to grow as a Christian. Absolutely. But it's that last example which probably accomplishes it best, because that's the way God designed it. God designed us to grow best in the church. Now, if we choose to submit ourselves to an education that teaches rules and includes correction or discipline, why not submit to God's teaching and welcome the opportunity for correction by those who are seeking to help us grow in Christ-likeness? Accountability, you know what that encourages? Holy living. Encourages us to do it right. We're not talking about pointing fingers at one another here. We're not talking about looking for things that we can call out in another person and say, you're not doing this well enough. We're talking about spurring one another on to good works, to to Christ-likeness and obedience, encouraging one another, praying with and for one another. Choosing to unite with others in local church membership encourages you to remain committed to your faith in Christ. It encourages the intentional investing of your time, your talents, your being. The church is designed to help us grow and mature in Christ. Being a committed part of a local church, that's where God designed us to grow best as believers. This setting here, this is where we are to experience love. Love for God and love for one another, both inside and outside the church. This is where we best experience growth in Christ, growing in our understanding of God and growing in our relationships with one another by God's design. That's what the church is for. And this is where we are to serve, serving God according to his calling on our lives as we serve others by God's gifting and enabling. We want to be a loving, growing, serving church family. What I hope that you can see this morning is that there is great value in being a member of a local church. The truth is that the Christian life involves more than just believing. It involves belonging. We grow in Christ by being in relationship with other Christians. And again, you certainly don't have to be a member of a local church to be saved. You do have to be a member of God's church by faith in Jesus Christ. But understand that God has established the local church for our benefit, to help us grow, to become every bit the people that he has called and created us to be. This is where we grow best. It provides us an identity, a source of protection and encouragement. The Christian life involves more than just believing. It also includes belonging. We grow in Christ by being in relationship with other Christians. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you for offering us membership in your church by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for sending him to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, that you would be willing to see him lay down his life, taking on the punishment we justly deserved, but taking that on himself, that punishment for our sins, so that you could extend to us that offer of forgiveness. A perfect example of grace and mercy. God, I thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy in the body of Christ. I thank you for the privilege of being a part of your family, adopted as sons and daughters through faith in Christ, and for the bond that brings between believers. And I thank you for the local church, God, that was your purpose in starting the church 2,000 years ago, is seeing us have that opportunity to gather together where we're known, where we can be encouraged and challenged and helped, where we grow best. So God, I pray that you would continue to call us forward in our relationship with you, continue to grow us in Christ-likeness, and may it be to your glory and honor, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.